This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast, another week in the wonderful world of coronavirus quarantine. There's no wrestling, except for WrestleMania will probably pass by the time you guys have heard this. I'm recording this before whatever WrestleMania is. Man, it's a weird world out there, man. Nothing's going on. We're all under quarantine. We're all just kind of locked in our houses. We're just kind of watching as much old wrestling as possible, and we're just kind of trying to get by. And I hope you guys are all getting by. I hope you guys aren't going crazy. I hope you guys are just kind of finding a way to persevere. I'm kind of finding solace in watching old wrestling shows, and I hope you guys are too. IWTV has been a savior. If you guys don't have independentwrestling.tv, want to watch some old independent shows, I would highly suggest signing up for the service. It is a wonderful, wonderful way to find some old independent wrestling. You guys can see me in the crowd at plenty of shows, but you guys can also see some, kind of discover some wrestling that you may not have otherwise found. And one of the people in the crowd at God knows how many independent wrestling shows was a dear, dear friend of ours named Mirko Kipke. And he tragically passed a few weeks back, and I wanted to bring on his best friend since childhood, Dave McKinney, Armadillo Dave, South Atlanta Wrestling Dave, to really memorialize Norco, because he was maybe just the biggest hearted, most genuine, wonderful person, biggest wrestling fan, just a warm human being. And a dear, dear, dear friend. I only knew him for about 3 years. Dave knew him for going on 30. So I want to bring Dave on and just talk about Norco a little bit and just let you guys know about this human being who was a great wrestling fan and a presence on the internet, a presence in the blogosphere, a presence on the podcast world, and just really a presence in a lot of our lives. So Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate you having me on.
Tell us about how you first met Norco, because you guys were kids, right?
Right, yeah. So, it's a funny thing. My parents live in the same neighborhood as his mother still, and I met Norco in second grade, but we didn't become friends until third grade when we got pulled out of our classes and put into a new class. Basically, they had to bring in an extra teacher that year, and so I got pulled out of my class, he got pulled out of his class, and we ended up there in the same class together. So we've been friends, I want to say it was like 86.
Jeez.
So 1986 is when we met. So I was 8 years old, depending on which side of, 86, you are there. And Norco, he's about 2 months younger than me. I'm a May birthday. He's an early August birthday. So anyhow, so we did meet in second grade. Him and some other kids from the other side of the neighborhood came over to our side of the neighborhood, and we, ran them off because, it was like a turf war or something like that. and then a year later, I became, dear friends with this guy. And we just remained friends throughout. And, he wasn't necessarily at the time my oldest friend at the time, but he is, the person I stayed friends with the absolute longest, if that makes sense. I fell out of, some people that I've known longer that we're acquaintances. We keep them on Facebook and all that, but we weren't friends. Like, me and Norco were still friends. I refer to him as my best friend, and we referred to each other as brothers, and it was really like that. So,
and yeah. Wrestling was that tie that bonded you guys together in a lot of cases, wasn't it?
It was, but it is funny because I have to make the distinction because now, especially being involved in the indie scene, and when I say being involved, I mean going to shows. I don't mean in any other way, but just I've made a point of talking to people at Scenic City and whatnot. Fans, I mean. And so, I have a lot of friends, well, like you, who I've met through wrestling. I mean, Norco is just a little different because we are friends who liked wrestling, but that's not what brought us together. But it is what we talked about more often than not. So we are wrestling friends, but we are friends who predated wrestling, unlike a lot of my other friends who I've met, you know, strictly at the wrestling shows and whatnot.
Sure.
Or, you know, but it is funny because, like, every time, I mean, I don't know that we ever had any sort of conversation where wrestling didn't come up at some point of it. It may not have always been the thing we talked about the most, but it probably was. But it was always at some point in the conversation. There was going to be some wrestling thing, you know, whether it be something going on in the Georgia indie scene or talking about how, you know, somebody had embarrassed themselves on social media or if he had been watching Raw or SmackDown or, you know, whatever. But
and who were some of Norco's favorites? Who were his guys that he went for?
That's a good question because, well, you know, he, for one thing, as you were there, I believe, at this show, you know, he liked all the Filipino wrestlers because Norco, if you asked him where he was from, he would say East Point because that's where he's from, East Point, Georgia. But it always stopped people in their tracks because what he knew full well that what they meant was, like, you know, where are you from? You know, yeah. Where are you from? And it's always funny watching the confused look on their face. But Norco was Filipino, so... Yeah. A Filipino from East Point, Georgia. And so, like, you know, he liked Cabana Man Dan, who I believe is Filipino, and then B-Boy, and that's the match I was thinking about when the last action show he was at with the whole crowd kind of rallying behind, well, B-Boy and Benjamin Carter, but there was a very, very loud B-Boy chant that was trying to drown out everybody else, and that was done by one man. That was Norco.
Oh, I was sitting right next to him. He was louder than the entire crowd. It was wonderful.
He shouted them all down, and it was great. And, of course, it played out just like it usually did with us, which was he was screaming about B-Boy, and I was sitting next to him laughing, and I couldn't even participate. And usually his shenanigans, especially back in the Wild Side days, were like that. There's a lot of pictures that you've probably seen of, you know, the guys back in our Wild Side days of him trying to fight with Murder One and Rain Man, who's Corey Chavis now, trying to fight with them while I'm standing either beside or behind him, just kind of laughing at all the nonsense. And I've always said that kind of perfectly illustrates our personalities. Like, I enjoyed the nonsense, but I wasn't usually as involved in the nonsense. And he was always front and center until his health got to where he just couldn't do it very much.
And the Wild Side days were what, 01, 02, 03? So this goes back a long time, right?
Yes. Because it was like, I cannot remember, without looking, it was definitely like 01, 02, and then it ended in, I think, 05. And so, like, Norco was part, I would say, the ringleader. Him and Kyle were the primary South Atlanta boys. We had a name. It wasn't necessarily something like we went out of our way to do, you know, but we did have a name. We were the South Atlanta boys, and Norco and Kyle were probably the two most constant and active guys. I always kind of put them as the leaders, and me and Norco and another friend of ours, Torres, sat around one day talking about trying to count how many South Atlanta boys there were, and we were trying to figure out who, like, I always said Norco and Kyle were the leaders, and then, like, guys like me and Torres were there pretty constantly, but we were kind of like that next tier down. And then there were some people that, you know, like, I can't even necessarily remember that came to one show with us type thing. But
Norco was the ringleader. Norco was the major domo of the group.
Oh, absolutely. He was a guy, like, he asked, the guy who was running security at the time was training to be a wrestler and it injured his shoulder. And I remember one show he looked at him and said, "Hey, how's your shoulder holding up?" And he's like, "No, it's feeling pretty good. It's okay. It's 100%. He goes, "Okay, I'm gonna try to push past you. And you got to hold me back, and I'll push on your shoulder. I just want to make sure I don't hurt you." And so I've seen that picture. The guy's wearing a yellow security shirt, and Norco's pointing. And, of course, the funny thing is I always point out, I say, "You know you don't want any part of those dudes." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." No, we certainly did not want to have to throw down with anybody, but we wanted everybody else to think we did because it was just part of the fun, you know. So as much as I know, if you don't know, if you're hearing – that a group of fans had a name, you think, "Oh, this has got to be terrible." I promise you, it was not one of those deals. I think the energy, and I think you can ask people in the business that were around at that time, the energy that group brought to the arena was always a positive energy. You know, it wasn't like a, hey, look at us type situation, if that makes sense. It was never about us. It was about trying to enhance the show. You know, and given the guys, you know, I say guys because it was mostly guys and not a lot of women's wrestling back then, you know, giving them kind of a lively crowd to perform in front of and giving them what they deserved, you know. So it really wasn't as much about us as it probably sounds when you hear the idea that a fan group has a name. So
no, I've been at shows with Norco, and he's basically just a booster for the show in general. I mean, he's just basically, you know, an energy shot for any show he's at. And I saw him in his final days. I couldn't imagine when he was young and spry, you know, because he was just a adrenaline shot for any show.
Yeah, he was incredible. I'm telling you. And I said it, you heard me say it the other day, but like one of the great joys I've had these last couple of years is watching him in the moments, especially when he was feeling good and he would get loud, like the B-boy chanting and things like that. It was always kind of fun just to see flash of his old personality, even though he couldn't really do it the way he did back in the early 2000s and all that. It was a lot of fun, but you know, he was just a real positive, you know, presence in just in general, even with the stuff he was dealing with. I remember thinking back to like middle school. Of course, neither one of us got danced with any girls at the school dance. You know, because well, I mean, you may have seen pictures of me back then, but anyhow. But we get in the car and I'm like, yeah, I didn't dance with anybody. But my mom asked Norco, did you dance with anybody? He goes, almost. And I was like, that was his take. You know, I was like, almost. Whereas I was just like, yeah, no, they didn't have any interest in me. He's like, yeah, I almost made that happen. So, you know, good for him. The glass is always half full of that guy. So,
yeah, every show I went to, he wanted a picture with me, and I'm a nobody. And he wanted a picture with all of us together. And he just like, I mean, you know, anytime, you know, he just a true friend. And, you know, I wish I was with you guys, you know, at pay-per-view parties. And I wish I was with you guys at, you know, just hanging out at the house. And I wish I was with you guys at, you know, late 2000s shows and stuff like that. Because you guys would have been a hoot, I can imagine.
The pay-per-view parties were awesome. We would do WrestleMania usually at either his house or Torres's house. I think we swapped at some point, but I distinctly remember WrestleMania 20, you know, the fairy tale ending that was not so fairy tale-ish anymore because of, you know, obviously the Benoit situation.
Yeah.
But I will never forget being in that room at his house with others. I think everybody that was there would be considered a South Atlanta boy type thing. You know, we were all there and, you know, a screaming tap at the TV when Triple H was locked in the Crippler crossface. And even though that moment itself, you know, has lost its luster because of obvious reasons, like that moment in that room never did for me. We always had a blast at those pay-per-view parties and just, you know, laughing about dumb stuff or making dumb comments about the shows. But, you know, we always had fun. And like me and Norco pretty much always had fun, whatever we were doing. But, you know, when it came to wrestling and we'd watch stuff together, we always had a blast. And there was usually more of us for that kind of stuff. You know, it would be no big thing to have 8 to 10 people there or whatever, you know, just hanging out. Of course, back in those days, splitting the cost of pay-per-view. So you wanted as many people over there as you could. So
I've been there, brother.
Yeah.
So kind of as the years went on, his, you know, and Norco, you know, he had some health issues and stuff like that. So Norco, how long was he sick for, and at what point did you kind of realize, you know, he might be in a bad way, and, you know, kind of, what was your reaction to this? Did you see his passing coming, or was it one of those things where, you know, he's going to be okay, he's going to be okay?
You know, we were trying to discuss this the other day, and I want to say that it's probably been 5 or 7 years, I think, that we realized he had a problem. You know, there was, at one point, he had to get a pacemaker. And then one day he kind of casually dropped that they had gone ahead and put him on the heart transplant list. And then after that, at some point more recently, it was like, well, they can't do the transplant because of my blood sugar issues not being controlled. And so long story short, I think the way I've encapsulated for people that I've talked to about it recently, I said, I kind of felt that we probably maybe didn't have terribly long left. But I certainly didn't expect it this soon, if that makes sense. I thought I'd be, you know, memorializing my friend when I was, you know, north of 50, not 41. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And maybe 10 years was like an unreasonable expectation, but it just didn't, it didn't feel imminent to me. I was as shocked as a person could be. I was so shocked that when I received word that it happened, I called him. Like, I don't know if that's a form of denial or what, but like, it was just like, I called his phone, like, you know, obviously this isn't a prank. It's, you know, I've been told this and I know it's true, but I still picked up the phone and called, and I don't know why I did that. It just, it made no sense, but that's what I did, you know? So, you know, I had made two assumptions. I thought we had longer, maybe 10 years or so. And I thought it would be a long, sad goodbye. And I guess maybe fortunately in that regard, it was not a long, sad goodbye. Last time I talked to him, things were great. We were just talking about the usual nonsense. He was in good spirits because he was fixing to get out of the hospital, which he did. He went home for a week before, after his last hospital stay, he had been home for a week before he passed. So he was just telling me, he had told me that he was, had to go to the doctor. He hoped they didn't try to keep him again because he wanted to go get the varsity on the way home. So, you know, kind of the last thing he passed on to me. So that was always his mentality. It's like, you know, okay, I know I need to take better care of myself, but if I got to drive to Atlanta, I'm going to go to the varsity. And I was like, you know what? I respect that, buddy.
So how have you been doing, you know, since, you know, because this is someone, I mean, you ran a website called South Atlanta Wrestling with, you guys did podcasts together, you traveled every show together. How have you been?
Man, I've been pretty good. It's been rough. It's been, again, I want people to understand what I'm saying here. Don't hear me say that I ever thought losing my best friend would be easy. That's not what I mean. But it has been harder than I thought it would be, if that makes sense. Like, I was hoping that, you know, the real tough part would be behind me once we got through the services and everything. And that ended up kind of not being the case. But, you know, I'm doing good. I, you know, got a lot to be, you know, grateful for here. And I had a, got to spend a long, good time with my buddy. You know, we had a, I wish we had longer together, but we got to spend a lot of good years together. And I'm kind of at that point now, like talking about them, or, you know, just stuff comes up and I think about them. And it's just, it's kind of like amusing, you know, it's it brings a smile to my face thinking about these random things, like the, you know, almost dance with a girl at the dance, or like, it's always funny to me when you think about someone who's been in your life so long, you don't even really understand how tied into your life they are to some degree. Like, the things that I wouldn't used to relate to him, I now do. Or even a step further than that, it's funny hearing what other people say. Like, so my mom says, I'll never forget him coming to the door dressed as a box. He had been Ken the Box, and there's a picture of him and Kyle. Kyle's dressed as a mummy. He looks like WCW's the Yeti in the front row at a Wildside show, one of the, I guess, the Fright Night shows that I never went to. And then Norco's dressed as Ken the Box, where he's basically got like a large box for his torso, and maybe that goes down to his legs, and then he's wearing a smaller box as a helmet, and then he's got like some sort of crazy box, like cardboard arms, and you know, it was just like, it was just funny of all the things that, you know, mom happened to say to me. She's like, I just remember him showing up at the front door dressed as a box. And he wasn't a teenager at this point, I don't think. I think we're talking about in our 20s at the time that he was, you know, running around.
I remember him dressed up as AC Mack or dressed as the Carnies. He used to love to dress up as, you know, he had a creative mind, man.
He did. He really did. And he had an ambition that, like, I've never had for this kind of stuff. You know, he was just, he just came up with his stuff and just was, you know, was all about it. I remember he was so excited about that AC Whack costume. I can actually, from where I'm sitting, I can see the AC Whack hat that has been preserved. We have the AC Whack hat. And I sent AC Mack a tweet and just said, hey, we still got this hat, buddy. And so, we do have the AC Whack hat, but I remember him sending me a message with a picture of the hat and the vest that he was working off of that costume. And it popped me so good when I showed up at the arena and he was in that full outfit. And then the picture he got with AC Mack, who of course is just a great sport.
Oh, you know? He is.
Although he doesn't, you know, want us, anybody saying that.
So, I mean, obviously wrestling's on pause, you know, for a while, but what do you think it's going to be like going to that first wrestling show without your best friend?
You know, it's a. I looked at my wife the other day and I said, I hate that Action's had these shows canceled. I hate it. I hate it for them. I hate it for the CEO, Matt Griffin. I hate it for the other sponsors. I hate it for the wrestlers. I hate it for the the folks that love going to those shows. But I got to be honest with you. I guess the silver lining for me was I probably wasn't ready to have to go to an Action show without my buddy, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I'm guessing no matter when it is, whether it's, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, well, God forbid the first show's not a year from now, but, no matter when it is, it's going to be tough walking in there knowing that he's not going to be coming around that corner at some point. Usually the way it would work is I might be there before him, and then I would head home to go pick up my family, and then he would show up after. But sometimes we would kind of cross paths on the way as I was on the way out the door. So it's going to be very strange being in the Action arena or a high school and knowing that at no point during that night am I going to see my friend. But I have made the solemn oath to be more active in the front row as a tribute to my friend, at least for the very first show. So we'll see if I can pick up his slack, a little bit.
And you wrote a very beautiful tribute on your website. Do you want to plug that?
Yeah, if you go to SouthAtlantaWrestling.com, there's a pages link over to the right side of that page, and the very top link, and this is where it should always be forever and ever, amen, is a page titled Norco 1978 through 2020, and it's a remembrance that I wrote of my friend, because as silly as it sounds, like you're running a website together at some point. I mean, this doesn't really matter per se, but at some point you kind of have to acknowledge, because people have seen things from both of you, that there's only one of us now, and it's like, it's really small potatoes, but I felt that it only appropriate that he always be there. And I told my friend Torres, I said, I can't say I'll always have his picture on the banner of the website, but as long as my picture's on the banner, then his picture will always be there. Like it will always be his site too, no matter, how long he's been gone. So that will always stay that way. And that remembrance will always be available, and it should be available right there on the far right. So if anybody didn't have the pleasure of meeting Norco and doesn't know why this guy's spent all this time talking about him right now, if you go check that out, I'm not pimping the site at all. I just want you to see maybe a little further explanation about why this guy is so special and why he was so beloved in our community.
And then you guys had a podcast as well. If people want to go back and hear Norco, what was it was called the Wrestling Brethren podcast?
It's called the Wrestling Brethren podcast. He ran the point on that one, the main one, for years. They have some offshoot podcasts. I have been a frequent panelist, but I was never actually one of the Wrestling Brethren per se. But I always thought of them as kind of a cousin project or a sister project, because, we shared Norco, basically. He did the South Atlanta thing, in print, and then he did the Wrestling Brethren podcast. And yeah, absolutely. There's a tribute episode there for him as well. And if you go listen to some of the other ones, you get to hear him doing his thing, which usually included some bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions or
or dad jokes.
Yeah, the dad jokes were always around. And I don't know if he told them in podcast, but, he always loved a good dad joke. And he wasn't a father, so he was a faux pas.
Oh, God.
As they say. Yeah, that's right. I just did it. I went for it. I honestly think, Ben, the last time I talked to him, I think he did his Harley race voice for me. He had a Harley race. It was the last time I saw him. One of the last things we talked about was him doing his Harley race voice and then him coughing uncontrollably, because it is a very painful voice to try to mimic, apparently. Set off his cough reflex there. So
Dave, if people want to find you, how do people find you on the web?
Well, the place I am most prevalent is Twitter, and it's at @S_ATL_wrestling. SouthAtlantaWrestling.com, though, has all the links to all of the social media feeds that you can get me on. So SouthAtlantaWrestling.com is where I put longer pieces, or sometimes I embed videos that I shoot for Twitter, just, my usual nonsense. Like when I say...
And they are nonsense.
Yeah, they are very, if they're not nonsense, I don't know how else to describe them. You know, if you want to see me say Roman Reigns is the big dog of the World Wrestling Federation, go to SouthAtlantaWrestling.com, and that'll take you to my Twitter feed, where you can see that kind of content all the time. I think we actually have an Instagram too. Instagram, South Atlanta Wrestling. So,
Dave, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on.
Much love, brother.
All right, thanks, brother.
Before we have Matt Griffin on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, JT Scott on the Place to Be Nation podcast 544, JT Scott and guest Jennifer Smith are getting everyone prepared for the hottest show of the summer with a look at SummerSlam Fever from 8, 1990. On Body Press Your Luck number 5, four-time defending champion Ryan Everett battles Derek Cornette and Michael Cook. On Jenny the Gems number 6, Jenny, Matt, Drew, and Scott are on the march to WrestleMania 9. Rowan Seat 1 epinew episode has Big Fitz and Nick Iggy. That was a fun show. In a brand new show called The Great Debate Wrestling, host Andy Atherton and guest Tim Capel, Matt Seuss, and John Amato discuss a wide variety of topics and scenarios in the world of wrestling. Check out the Place to Be Nation Pop feed with shows that include the Glenn Butler podcast, Iris Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laugh In Theater, DC4U, The Great Debate, Marvel Age, and so much more. While you're at it, check out the Jenny position, home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and Journey Through Infinity. And the new North-South Connection with JT Rosero and Chad Campbell. It's new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, and Jeff Learns Wrestling. We've kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCWMatches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. On our social media pages, the greatest sports logo of 2020 tournaments going on. There's 4 matches per day, so be sure to like the page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Be sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on the topics of the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, The Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of PlaceToBeNation.com's homepage and use PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you.
We are here with Matt Griffin. I want to get a promoter's perspective now on how coronavirus is affecting promoters of shows, because we've talked to a few wrestlers now over the last couple weeks, and it's affecting them, but it's also affecting promoters of shows, because I know Matt with Action Wrestling had a lot planned and had a lot in the hopper, and he's been affected too. So I want to bring Matt on. He's a dear friend, obviously, a friend of the show. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Man, you've been hurt by all this. You've had a crappy year.
Yeah, I have been. It's been fairly rough because I had 2 shows scheduled for the second half of March. And, one was a paid show, meaning the town of Tyrone paid us to be a part of entertainment, and you don't have to sell tickets for a paid show, or you could refer to it as a paid show or a sold show, but I just come in, I actually put on the show, and we get to make some money because Action Wrestling does so many nonprofits or donations for school groups, or we run shows for a charity. There's very little income that comes in. So that was going to be actually a real big deal, because making a few $100 affects our bottom line really well. And then, of course, as we tape this tomorrow, you and I were going to be going down to Tampa for WrestleMania and WrestleMania weekend. And, we had the show that we were co-promoting with Black Label Warhausen's WrestleMania, and we were looking, I won't say any numbers, and they're all would have been skewed anyway because we stopped selling tickets several weeks ago, but we were looking very good. I'd heard reports that some shows were not selling tickets very well, but we were. We had, a really strong time slot. We had a very cool vibe. Warhorse and Danhausen were killing it on social media with building interest in the show. And that hurts too, because that was going to be profitable. And now looking, instead of several thousand dollars to make some improvements, make some investments, now I've had some losses. Thankfully, not as bad as others have had. But when you pay tickets and they're printed with a specific date and time, those get kicked in the ass. When you have a poster, paid for design. That's kicked in the ass. You know, you have travel costs, which you may or may not always be able to recoup. You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, talk about some of these costs that can't be recouped. You know, I mean, people don't really, you know, people think about, you know, paying the talent. And that's obviously, you know, payroll is obviously your number one cost. But, you know, these are, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is just sunk costs. Like, you know, you've already printed the tickets. That's just a sunk cost. You know, you've already printed the posters. That's just a sunk cost. You know, a lot of these flights, you know, I've heard from John Thorne's podcast and things like that, you know, the airline will give you a credit, but it's only from that city to that city, and it's only on certain dates and things like that. You know, a lot of that is sunk cost. You know, a lot of these things are just things you can't really get back.
Well, I'm going to admit I'm very nervous about a flight that's on my card for WrestleMania that was insured, but I'm still, the flight was supposed to happen in just a couple days, and it still says it's pending review, even though I sent off everything over a week ago. I think that I should still receive a big refund because I had the insurance, but I had insurance on a flight before that didn't end up getting taken, that the insurance claim was denied. So I'm getting a little nervous on that too, because I really don't want a credit. I think that's going to be very inconvenient. And with the credits, you have to understand too, as a promoter, quite often we book for the talent. Not always, but we book for the talent and we put it on our credit card. So we're the ones who pay for this specific wrestler to go to this specific city. And sometimes you have flights that where you have to work with other promoters, like, all right, this guy is going to be in Philly on a Thursday. He's going to come to the Atlanta area on my show on a Friday. Then in Saturday, he's going to work somewhere else. And you coordinate with the promoters to share costs. But often they're just one-way tickets because that's the easiest way to do it. And I've got some one-way tickets for my April 24th show I have to figure out. And if it, depending on how specific the airlines are going to be, it could be, you know, the ticket, even if I get a credit, it could be useless. If I don't get a refund on it, it's, you know, and if you don't, then there's another couple hundred dollars in costs that are completely dead. Plus, three of my four shows, I ended up running a show in January that had to be moved. We had a show in March that was scheduled for a high school. I had a show in April, which is, of course, since been canceled, that were shows at high school.
And the free show, too. Schools.
Yes, but the free show I didn't have any tickets for.
That counts, though.
The high school show, well, specifically the high school shows, normally what I do when I run the Action Arenas is I keep costs low. I buy my own card stock and print my own tickets. For these shows, I went ahead and used my printer, who's a sponsor, and I'm able to get them at a real good rate. They still have to charge me something. It's much less because they are a sponsor, and they consider these community events, but I still do have to pay something. And you know, when you change the times and dates, those tickets now become useless. I printed out some nice big color tickets that were numbered. They had sponsor logos. They had all the information. It was something that really looked like an event ticket, not something that I printed out that it would just tear at the door. Because the school groups I was going to work with, I wanted them to be able to have something to show and make it look like an event, because I had 4 or 5 weeks of ticket selling planned ahead of time. My April 24th show, we had over 1,000 general admission tickets printed. We were anticipating doing exceptionally well. And that doesn't include the 100 plus or 150, however many people I was going to seat in reserved floor seating. So that's a sunk cost. That's 1,000 tickets that are just basically going in the trash. I can't see how it would work to use those. It's not like we're a big Ticketmaster type of organization, where, you know, you can just print out new barcodes, or, you know, it's not really going to work to say, all right, we're going to honor tickets, especially for my April show where we hadn't actually sold any tickets yet. We were going to go on sale and we're ready to when all of this hit and schools went out. So It's a lot. It's frustrating because this was going to be our busiest time. I had four shows in 2 months. I had creative plans, and of course, many other promotions. The other wrestlers had offers than us. People who are sick in hospitals on ventilators, and you know, there's unfortunately right now there's a rising death count every day. But obviously, it still sucks. It sucks, and there's no way around it.
Now, your shows are all benefits too. You know, talk about how this has affected. You know, a couple of your shows are going to be benefits for schools. A couple of your shows are going to be benefits for charities. Talk about how it's affected the groups that you are going to be benefiting.
Well, I give all the profits, everything past expenses, to a nonprofit or school group, and that's money. Like one of my canceled shows, I know they were counting on having several thousand dollars that was going to significantly benefit them and buy new equipment for their team. That's what this the benefit was specifically earmarked for, and now that's not going to happen. And it's a cascade shutdown, and who knows when we'll be able to get to run again. I still have my June shows and on. I didn't have a May date. I still have my June shows on the calendar, but they're just dates on a calendar now. I can get my rec center pretty much any time that I want because they have a lot of availability on Friday nights. But how can I even begin to plan anything? That's why rescheduling a date, and that's why I think WWE just decided to go on with WrestleMania and not reschedule it to the proposed June date that we heard, because who knows if they'd even be able to have it in June. You know, we just don't know at this point when and when things open up from a quarantine, what's it even going to look like? Are we going to be able to have gatherings? You know, a wrestling show of several hundred people, is that something that we're even going to be able to have for the next, you know, in the next 6 months? So everything's just completely at a standstill. I know some people are producing empty arena content. There's some, you know, Warhorse was forced to get a job as a radio DJ. Breeze Horse is that's some good content he's churning out. You know, some wrestlers who are trying to take advantage and produce social media content, stay relevant, keep working on that, and I think that's fantastic. Keep yourself in the public eye, but you know, so much show, and then I had some things for April that I had not nearly announced, and creatively I have just no idea, because I don't even know if June or August or when we are going to be able to have a date. So there's no point in even thinking about or planning anything.
Talk about creatively, because you're a creative guy. You know, you're a booker. You're a booker for a couple different groups. I talk to you all the time. Your brain is always going with creative ideas. Talk about how this has affected you there. Talk about how this has affected you creatively. Because everything's on pause right now. How is this? I mean, do you put everything on pause, or is your creative brain still churning?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's tough because I don't want to think too far ahead, because, you know, one of the jokes is I always have to check. It's like, wait, who, you know, for example, for Scenic City, I have this conversation. It's like somebody will ask about a certain person, and I have to be like, wait a second. Because I know all the names, but I have to think, wait, who have we announced yet? You know, if we have six names announced, who are the six? You know, I don't want to accidentally reveal somebody.
Yeah.
So I don't want to think too much about logical conclusions, because I have certain angles and storylines that I'm thinking through, but because we weren't able to do the March shows, we didn't even get to start them. Or, you know, on tap, we have both Brett Eisen and Jade Newman challenging AC Mack for championships, you know, for the Action and Sub championships. So it's, you know, how can I think past that? Because that was a big piece from our February show available on IWTV Live, where 3-on-3, Brett Eisen pinned AC Mack. And AC Mack hadn't been pinned in the Action Arena since June 2018. So he's up for a challenger to the Action Championship. So how do
you reintroduce those stories? Like, I mean, do you have to reintroduce the whole thing, or do you just pick up where you left off?
I don't know. That's going to depend. That's going to depend on when. You know, I know where I see certain things going. I'm not trying to make it like I'm 5 years from now. Because it's certainly, of course, not like that, but you have different ideas and you can adapt. But when you can't have any shows in the first place and you don't know when, like if you had a certain start date, you could begin to go ahead and rebuild. But at this point, will we be able to have, you know, I hate to think about it, but are we going to be able to have Scenic City Invitational in August? We have things that we're going to build up to that and come out of that as we've built both SEI as kind of a bridge and a part of the action where guys, you know, can show up in one spot and it translates to up to other places. So I don't know. I have an angle in my head that was going to run through December and it hasn't even started yet. Who knows if, you know, who knows who's even going to be around at this point. You know, certain wrestlers may make decisions because they're forced to, because their shoe jobs went away or they need to move or, you know, other life things can happen. It's almost pointless to think about anything in the future because at this point I was supposed to have two shows of angles to lead into this week and to lead into my show in late April. And we didn't get to do those. So I have so many bookings that I want to make up. I've had wrestlers who I definitely had, you know, promised spots for. I had booked and then I have to unbook them. So they're going to get the priority. My regular guys who are here just about every show are going to get the priority. You know, I'm not going to be able to try out any new talent for some time just because I'm not going to leave some people who I had for a couple shows to come in and get introduced. I'm not going to leave them hanging. So it's very much at a standstill right now. I do think whenever we get the all clear to be able to have events with more than, you know, 50 or 100 people, I do think independent wrestling is going to boom because compared to other, you know, professional sports, tickets are not expensive. You can pick up a $10 general admission seat. People are going to want to go to events. I do. You know, that's the key thing. So to answer the question you first asked, I do think creatively, but I try not to, you know, I try not to think too much at this point because this thing that I may have been targeting for October, it definitely can't happen in October. Maybe it'll happen in February or April of next year, and it may not happen at all because so much about booking and creative with wrestling is about momentum. You know, who's going to have momentum? Who's going to be able to pick up in their same slotted spot and get that same reaction?
Very true. Very true. So it's just really just a question of when.
Yeah, because you see as a booker, you see a guy at a certain position, you know, and they're not the champion because obviously to me, very old school, champion is the top dog. AC Mack is, you know, he has the action title. The Action Championship, he has a Sup Bone Storm Championship. He's the most dominant wrestler in the Southeast, in my opinion. And, you know, he's obviously the top dog. Every spot under that, it's going to be subject to what the fans think. Will they react to some wrestlers the same if they haven't seen them in 6 months? You know, will they, you know, and to another point, they may see them and they may remember them more fondly. Even a opening match or mid-card guy may, because they were there and wrestled, they may get even bigger reactions. Some guys who came in for a shot or two may be just like starting over. And it's like their time they put in a promotion because the fans just don't really remember them. Who knows? We haven't had a prolonged shutdown. This isn't something like football where the best quarterback, the best running back, and the best wide receiver are going to make the team But even so, you know, you can slot out and change guys during the game and see what works. And it's not like that at all.
So that first show back, you're going to feel an urge to play the hits then?
I don't know. The good thing is with my rec center, if you told me, if I got all clear today, I could be on and I was able to have an event. I could put together, as long as I could get a ring, I can put an event together and hold it on Friday. I really can do something that fast.
As opposed to a lot of other independent groups who have to wait and wait and wait and wait.
Well, it's the building availability.
Yeah.
There's a lot of promotions, even promotions that draw, you know, from 500 to 1,000. They have difficulty securing buildings, getting dates. You know, that's not easy. I do have relative ease because I've never not been able to get a Friday night date that I wanted in my rec center. I have a very good relationship with the town of Tyrone. I live here. So I'm a Tyrone resident, and I see the mayor, I see the police chief, I see lots of townspeople just in my regular day-to-day. So I have a good relationship, so I think I'd be able to get something up and going, but that's, you know, if you don't have a building, you don't have any sort of show.
Now, just from a more macro perspective, the state of Georgia's really been hit by this. How are you and your family kind of reacting, you know, to all this? How are you doing?
I'm good. We got back. Actually, we took a trip to the Grand Canyon in the early part of March before everything really hit the fan. We got back March 12th, and it was actually, I think, March 11th or so. March 11th or 12th is the day that I found out we were canceled. We actually flew red eye back home, so I got home on the 13th, actually, which is a Friday. But I found out that my March 14th event was going to be canceled, and I had to message everybody on the phone. And, you know, of course,
I remember talking to you during your trip, and everything was hitting the fan while you were stuck in Arizona. I remember you just feeling helpless.
You are helpless because there's nothing, you know, there's nothing. I mean, I texted with the principal, hey, is my March 20th event still on? Yes. The next day, school's out for 2 weeks. It's, you know, I'm certainly not complaining because I have relationships with them, but things can move so incredibly fast, and we're subject to, you know, be affected by what's going on. You know, as far as the creative, when I come back, yeah, I think I would. I mean, I have a core group of guys with action, you know, like AC Mac, Matt Sells, you know, Bobby Flacco, Alan Angels, Sean Dean. You know, we've got the SUP contingent, we've got a lot of wrestlers who are appearing just about on every show. And, you know, what's it going to look like if I can't, you know, if I can't get certain wrestlers available? You know, if Brad Eisen can't come in and challenge AC Mac for the championships, then that changes, you know, that's going to be have a cascading effect down the card. What do you do? And I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I certainly don't know. The WrestleMania weekend cards, we hadn't, with the WrestleMania, we had announced, I believe, 5 matches. And some promotions had not announced certain matches, and they've been releasing what their cards were going to look like. To me, that's a mistake, because if I hadn't put it out there yet, well, for a couple reasons. If I hadn't put it out there yet, it was never official. And I want to keep those creative ideas close to the vest, because certain things, even just revealing, oh, this is going to be the match, that gives away what was going to lead up to it.
Yeah, and you had announced the action matches for WrestleMania.
We had a big show March 20th, Super Show 2, that everything was going to, the rest of it was going to come out of there. So who knows what anything's going to look like at this point? You know, there are certain promotions that had shows that were canceled in March and April, part of the collective. You know, they're announcing matches and telling people what matches were going to happen if the shows had proceeded. To me, that's depending on what their creative was. To me, the way I do it, it would be a mistake, because I don't want to reveal. I certainly don't want to reveal where things may have been going. If I didn't announce it, it wasn't official anyway. I may change my mind. I like to keep things close to the vest, because I'd love to be able to drop You know, April 24th, we were supposed to have Alex Zane return, and he was going to take on Bobby Flacco.
Oh, man.
That was going to, and that was out there. That was going to be at Noonan in high school, which is Bobby Flacco's alma mater. He was on the wrestling team and graduated in 2011. He and David Finley were both on the Noonan High School wrestling team. That was going to be a big deal for him. So I wanted to get him a premier opponent. And Bobby Flacco found out when I put it on Twitter and Facebook. I told him I have something special and I don't want you to know. And I like to do that with some of my guys if I haven't discussed it. I know there's something they're really looking forward to. I just drop it out there because I love to surprise them, keep them on their toes. It's just at this point, who knows? You know, I like to book angles and stories and have things build up to matches that matter, and that's going to take some time to come around back to. Especially with, I use lots of guys, wrestlers who come in from Nashville, North Carolina. Who knows what their travel will be? You know, whenever I'm able to have a show, who knows what their availability and travel will be? Because certain wrestlers are going to want to go back, not just to wrestle, but they need to go back to their shoot jobs if they haven't been working. So their availability on weekends may be compromised.
Man, my heart goes out to you. It's gonna be a lot of juggling and a lot of craziness once the floodgates open again. And I do not want to be in your position because it's not a place that I like to be.
Overall, I'm lucky. I am still working. I do come into my office, but I have it at my own office. I'm very strong on practicing the social distancing and being careful. It's weird to me that so many people need to be told to wash their hands, because that was a thing I naturally did quite often before. Has not gone to the mailbox in the last 2 weeks. I have my 5-year-old. They've been at home. My wife's working at home today, and she, you know, we're keeping everything to a bare essentials as possible, because the fallout of coronavirus is going to be bad. But if you don't do everything you can to stamp it out and you don't restrict on gatherings, it's just going to be prolonged and it's going to end up being worse with the effect that it has on the economy.
Sure.
And business in general. If we had acted a month earlier, we would be far ahead of the game. But
we didn't, and now we're fucked.
Yeah, if only somebody knew and hadn't called it a hoax on television. But that's a different podcast.
That is definitely a different podcast. So if people want to support Action Wrestling, there are ways.
Yeah, I'm not doing any GoFundMes for any talent. I'm not doing anything for us. We're okay. I would ask, though, that I would ask on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for you to follow along. On Facebook and Instagram, it's Action Wrestling and the number 1. On Twitter, it's Wrestle Action 1, WrestleAction and the number 1. Follow us. We do have shirts. We have 3 different shirt designs that are available on shopiwtv.com. So you can pick up a shirt and we profit on that. Merchandise sales are actually one of our main revenue drivers, which is money we can keep and use to make different investments on. Like there's one upgrade that I really want to make, and I was about to pull the trigger on it after our March 14th show, because I would have definitely had the finances, but I don't really want to say, because I want you to just be able to show up at an Action show and see it and be like, holy shit, that's cool. Because you will, but I don't want to spoil that. You can also watch us on IWTV.
That's what I've been doing.
We do have 18 shows archived on IWTV. Every match that's been in Action.
You know, at least from my perspective, Action's been really fun to go back and watch, just because it's been my home promotion. And Action and SUP for me are those two promotions that I really consider home. And if you get a chance, go watch your home promotion. You can see yourself in the crowd and, see yourself, watching your shows and, see yourself, kind of enjoying it, kind of get those memories back. You know, Matt, would you agree?
Absolutely. It's this is my creative outlet personally. It's my performance outlet. It's just, so I'm feeling the loss, not financially for myself. I'm feeling the creative personal loss of there's just no creative juices, there's no performance juices that are going because we're shut down.
Yeah, so nostalgia kind of helps a little bit in that respect.
But I love, thank you for watching, and please, if you have TV, please watch, and promo code ACTION gets you a 5-day trial if you have not checked out IWTV yet.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. We appreciate it, my friend, and best of luck with everything, and I'll be there on the Action Arena once we get back going. All right, Matt, thank you. Thank you so much, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me.